And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today we're going to have a special edition of Secrets. This is volume 182. 182 times we've done Secrets. And I always enjoy this time because I can discuss and comment on things that, the control media just doesn't want you to know. Sometimes they don't want me to know, and I have to dig myself to get the facts out for you. Sometimes they're mentioned, actually, in the news media, but always with some kind of a liberal or anti-Christian or simply anti-truth tinge to them. And it's always great to bring out the actual facts here and tell you here at Power of Prophecy. So it's sort of a revisionist news program, you might say. And I love to just look at the truth, don't you? To have a little time for we truth tellers to sort of sit around the table, get us a Coca-Cola or a glass of lemonade and just have some fun exposing things and examining the facts. Well, the first is something that, boy, it seems like the news media, it's just pulling hen's teeth, as they used to say, before they'll tell you the facts about Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul. It seems that according to a Harris poll, the newest Harris poll, Ron Paul is now ahead of Obama. He is beating Obama in the latest opinion poll, 51% to 49% in a general election race. In other words, if the presidential sweepstakes, if it was November, the second Tuesday in November, right now, Ron Paul would win. He'd be president. It's a lot more delightful than thinking about any of the other Republican candidates, I'll tell you. And by the way, many people have said Tex Mars is opposed to Ron Paul, or Tex Mars thinks he's a horrible person. I don't know where they get that. You know, the one thing that I don't like about Ron Paul is the fact that he has seemingly no opinion on gay marriage, homosexuals, and things like that. I don't see how a Christian could be without an opinion. In fact, that means he favors it. You ever heard of the old saying, friends, not to decide is to decide? Well, libertarians, there's a lot of things they don't want to decide anything on. Well, then they've decided. So I once heard Rush Limbaugh say that he was not for abortion, but he's for a woman's right to choose. Now, he's known as Mr. Conservative. But he says he's pro-life, even though he's for a woman's right to choose. That's like saying, you know, is your favorite flavor of ice cream chocolate or vanilla? And the answer says yes. Well, but which one? Yes. Well, oh, I was in a restaurant one time. My friends really laughed at me. They'd asked me a question, my good friend, fellow Air Force officer, retired major. He and I were out at this Mexican restaurant with Wanda and my friend's wife, Chuck Oyston. He's passed away now. But the waiter came by and said, would you like a super salad? And I thought he was asking me if I wanted a super salad. And I said, yes. He says, okay, sir, super salad. I said, yes. And he looked at me and he didn't know what to do. And my friend Chuck started laughing at the text. He's asking you, do you want either soup or salad? I said, oh, I thought they had like a bigger salad, a super salad. Okay, I'll take just the regular salad then. And my friends all laughed at me, and one did too. It's because I got all mixed up because I was just talking away and not paying attention. So I do that sometimes right here at the ministry, in fact. And but anyway, you notice that the media don't want to tell you about this. Now, how did I find out about this? I went to the Drudge Report. I usually read the Drudge Report. It always has some interesting things. DrudgeReport.com on the internet. Every morning I look at it, see what interesting, maybe sometimes weird, crazy things going on in the world. There's always plenty of crazy things. You and I know that. But there was the headline was that Herman Cain had droned to within, I think it was 4 or 5 percentage points of President Obama in the newest poll. Herman Cain, you know, the Republican candidate, former CEO of Godfather's Pizza and all that kind of stuff. Well, that was the headline. And anyway, in my news, I always try to get all the news I can early in the morning and get most of it from the internet. I came upon this other news article that in the Harris poll, Ron Paul was actually ahead of Obama. Now think about it. Drudge Report is the number one world's news source. I don't know how many people, but I think about 16 million a day access the Drudge Report. And he didn't even mention that Ron Paul was ahead of Obama in the poll. But his headline was that Herman Cain was only 4 or 5 points behind Obama. And that was a shocker, they said. I get this on Fox News, too. I go on Fox News, they'll mention all the candidates, say the newest poll shows that Romney or Perry or whoever are ahead, and it won't even mention Paul. So then I go on the internet and look up the same poll, and I find out that Paul was ahead of all of them. And they accidentally, let me clear my throat, at Fox News TV, they left Paul's name off. Kill him by neglect. That's the conservative establishment's policy as far as Ron Paul. Listen, I don't have to like everything about Ron Paul to know that he's, 20 to 50 times better than every one of the other candidates. For one thing, he's not a Zionist wacko, nor an environmentalist nut, which most of them are. Okay? So, do I favor Ron Paul? Does the monkey look a little silly? The answer is yes to both questions. In fact, a lot of the candidates look like monkeys, and they look silly, don't they? Hey, how about O'Perry? He really messed up at this last debate, Republican debate. They were out to get him, of course, because he's not the actual establishment favorite. That would be Romney. That's who they really want, Romney or Gingrich. They really don't want Perry, although he'd do everything for the establishment that Romney would do probably. But in any case, they asked him about his immigration policies, and he was not in favor of building a fence to keep out illegal aliens. That wasn't too good because most Republicans favor it. But then he was asked that most deadly question, why, as governor of the state of Texas, had Rick Perry signed into law legislation which gave foreigners, including illegal aliens, cheaper tuition at state universities than American citizens? He tried to justify it, but it was all just totally gobbledygook. You know, if you've listened to this radio program for a long, long time, you know that I've been telling you about that, haven't I? In fact, that law was passed during the days of Governor George W. Bush in Texas. And then it was renewed or confirmed again by Governor Rick Perry. So this law has been around for a long time, about 13 years, 12 or 13 years in the state of Texas and in a number of other states. I want you to think about that. Every state-supported university not only receives money from the state wherein the university is located, but also from the federal government. So, for example, the University of Texas, where I taught for 5 years, receives money from the state of Texas and the federal government for its various programs. And then to tell citizens of the United States from the 49 states other than Texas that if they enroll in the University of Texas or one of the other state-supported schools in this state, that they will have to pay 3 to 4 times as much as would in the an illegal alien from, say, Indonesia or Pakistan or India or Ecuador or Argentina or Mexico. That is pure stupidity, unfairness, and frankly, it's just plain un-American. My granddaughter came to Texas several years back. She had lived here about a year, and she called a university here. She wanted to go to the university, and she asked them how much tuition was. Well, the girl on the phone was real nice to her and asked my granddaughter, "Are you a citizen of the United States?" She says, "Uh-huh. But I've lived in Texas a year. I came from California originally." The admissions clerk at the university said, "Oh, it's too bad you're not from a foreign country. You're going to have to pay about 3 times as much tuition." What? Oh, yes, if you were from Mexico or, you know, El Salvador or, you know, Bombay, India, you get cheaper tuition. But because you're an American citizen from another state, no deal. Whoa. When he was governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee got that same law passed there. When he was asked why he favored foreigners, even the illegals, over Americans for tuition rates, Huckabee said, "Well, I just think it was my Christian duty." Huh? Whoa, just a minute. If somebody from Uruguay, some student, let's say 18 years old, just got out of high school in Montevideo, Uruguay, or Buenos Aires, Argentina, has millionaire parents, and they fly to the United States on first class. They have $50,000 wardrobe to wear while they're here at the University of Texas or at the University of Arkansas. As I said, their parents are millionaires. To their surprise, they say, "Guess what? Because you're not an American, we're going to give you tuition that's only 1/3 as much as Americans have to pay." Well, what if the American is poor? Maybe they come from the backwoods. Maybe their parents live in a little bitty RV, trailer, or a 32-foot mobile home they can't afford anymore. Maybe the young person's worked all his life, saved his money, working at McDonald's as a newspaper boy, working at Burger King and all that. He wants to go to college. She wants to go to college. You got to pay 3 times as much as a son of a millionaire from Uruguay. We don't go by how much money you have. We go by the color of your skin and the fact that you're a foreigner. We give discounts to foreigners. Now, that's what Rick Perry was saying. And then Rick Perry had the gall to stand there on international TV and say, "Anybody who doesn't agree with me on this just doesn't have a heart." Hey, friends, you've been watching The Wizard of Oz too much. The Tin Man didn't have a heart. If you got a, we may not have hearts, but you don't have a brain. Mike Huckabee, you don't have a brain. I'm getting tired of these people. They hate America, and they come out and say, because you don't want to favor illegal aliens, give them all these benefits, even more benefits than we give Americans, you don't have a heart. Shut up. If you like Mexico so much, or Uruguay, or India, go live there. We don't want you as our governor, and certainly don't want you as our president. Let me give you a little clue, Rick Perry and Mike Huckabee and whatever states, probably 20 states now, I think, have the same stupid law now. Why don't you go down and try to go to college in Mexico City or Tijuana or Toronto, Canada or New Delhi, India, and see if they give you a discount as American? They'll probably charge you 10 times as much as one of their citizens. You got it. Get out of America. Go where you like the people best. You've got such a heart. Then go down and be kind and compassionate to the people of the foreign country that you favor. You know, when I was an Air Force officer, I taught ROTC at the University of Texas. I think I told you this story before, but it still makes me sick to think of it. I had a young student. Kid was working his way through college. No help from his parents. They were very poor. I believe they were divorced as well. He and a bunch of boys, none of them had any money to go to college, really. They pooled all their resources and got an apartment. He slept on the floor on a pallet all the way through college. Worked 8 hours a day at a Pizza Hut so he could afford college and pay his rent and such. Rode a bicycle to the university, didn't own a car. Couldn't afford to be a member of a fraternity or anything like that. He wanted to be an Air Force officer, and he joined ROTC. So he was having to do that too, you know, all the marching and so forth. One day I called him in my office because, you know, we had marching and all these military drills and wear the ROTC Air Force uniform, and he needed a haircut. I told him, you need a haircut, son. Yes, sir, I don't have any money for a haircut. I'm saving my money for a haircut. I thought, well, how much could a haircut be? $3 or something. He didn't have any money. That's before I just got there before I found out who the kid was. I also found out he was one of the hardest working cadets that I had. Good young man. I'm sure he went into the Air Force and he made a fine officer. He came in to see me one day and said, is there any way I could get a scholarship? And I looked at him, I told him no. But I knew something. Every black person who joined the ROTC got a scholarship. Did you hear what I just said? Every black person got a scholarship. But a white person, no. In fact, in my cadet corps, one of my students was a young black man whose father had been an army general, who had plenty of money and was paying his way through college. He didn't have to pay 1 cent. He was also a member of one of the nicest fraternities and had to pay thousands of dollars a year to live in the fraternity house and enjoy all the perks of being a frat boy. This black boy went down and got every scholarship he applied for because he was black. But as far as the young white student, nah. Let me tell you what this young man ate. I found out that every day he ate one hamburger. That was what he ate. I noticed he was very thin. One hamburger. I can't remember exactly the composition, but as I recall, for breakfast he ate one of the buns. For lunch he ate one of the buns and the pickles. And then for dinner, he ate the tomato, sliced tomato, and the beef. That was all he ate. Till he got a job at Pizza Hut, and they let him eat the scraps, or some leftover pizza, which he loved, you know, working in Pizza Hut. Friends, that wasn't right. That wasn't right. When you judge people, when you favor people based on their race, based on their color. Now, I know all these bureaucrats and all these liberals thought it was a wonderful thing when they started all these programs that favored blacks or Hispanics or whatever. Now they're favoring illegal aliens even. I'm sure their intentions were good. But you know, there's an old saying that says, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I wonder what that young white Air Force cadet thought when he looked at the black man, same class as he was, who received all the favors and all the scholarships and grants, was a member of a fraternity and so forth. And this young man slept on the floor, ate one hamburger a day, couldn't afford to get his hair cut. By the way, I gave him the money to get a haircut. Told him, don't worry about paying me back. About 2 weeks later, he came and paid me back. Such people are Americans. Now, talking about America, what do you think about the United States threatening to veto the bid for Palestine to become a nation state? Doesn't that just make you sick? You know, we've been told all these decades that every nation should be a member of the United Nations. Because that's a place where they could talk and have peace and harmony and love and all get together and be as one and, you know, I don't know, hold hands and sing the Beatles tune, you know, Imagine, John Lennon. Well, none of that probably was ever true. It was a nice dream. Suddenly, Israel and the United States do not want Palestine to become part of the United Nations. How dare you want to join the United Nations? Well, you're an evil, evil people to want to join the United Nations. Of course, the United States and Israel are members of the United Nations. Why didn't they want it? You know, I would watch TV and I saw Sean Hannity and all these neoconservatives are all out there saying, well, we can't let Palestine join the United Nations. That would be bad for Israel. Well, I bet it would. Because then Israel couldn't treat Palestine like it's one big open-air Holocaust concentration camp, which it does now. Because if it were a nation, then it could go to the United Nations and say, we've just been attacked by Israeli tanks and helicopter gunships, and our people have been slaughtered by the Israelis. Israel doesn't want that. They want the right to go in and slaughter and kill and kidnap and torture and rape Palestinian men, women, and children with impunity. And then after they kill the young Palestinians, to harvest their bodily organs for profit. Israel does not believe in Palestine's right to exist. They think, in fact, that all Gentiles, you, me, and the Palestinians, are nothing but goyim, animals, cattle. That's what their holy book, the Talmud, says about you and me and the Palestinians. Why should they be a nation? Why should they have the right to exist? Why should they be treated like equals? Because after all, Israel is a Jewish state. Uh-oh. Then it's not a democracy. If the Jews have right, it's a Jewish state. Only the Jews have rights, and that's exactly correct. Did you know you cannot own property unless you're a Jew? A Palestinian could have lived in a certain city in Israel all his or her life, but he cannot buy property, can't put his name on the title, because he's not a Jew, because the Jews are prejudiced. They discriminate. Is that a democracy? Everybody, I've heard all this gunk all these years. Well, Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. Oh, shut up. First of all, Turkey is a democracy. Most of the people there are Muslim, and yet they vote. They have a Congress. They have a president that they vote for. They put presidents out of office through the voting. Even Iran, which is a Muslim nation, votes for its president. Ahmadinejad was voted into office, and he was re-voted into office. He's not a dictator. But there is a Jewish dictatorship, much like communism in Soviet Russia, in Israel. Now, here's an interesting thing. Did you know that in 1940, this is in my book, which you've got to get a copy of, friends. If you don't have a copy of that book, you're going to be way behind in these world issues. My new book, The Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. President Harry Truman in 1948 recognized Israel as a nation. They brought him the petition. And they said, here, sign this. He had agreed to sign it in advance. But when it came to his desk on that fateful day, and you'll see that I've got a copy of that exact document in my book. It stated You know, we, the United States of America, hereby recognizes the Jewish state of Israel. Now get this, folks. If it were not for the United States signing that document, and we were the only superpower of the world, we and the Soviet Union, and the very same day, Joseph Stalin over in the Kremlin signed that same document. But the two documents signed, there's a difference between the two. That one that Joseph Stalin signed in the Kremlin and the one that Harry Truman signed in the White House. Because Harry Truman took his pen and scratched out the word Jewish. Did you hear what I just said? He lined through, you call it scratching out if you want to, with his pen, the word Jewish in his diplomatic recognition of Israel in 1948. In other words, he said, we are recognizing Israel as a nation, but not a Jewish state of Israel. He knew the Palestinians were living there too. He did not give the nation of Israel to the Jews. He gave it to the people. Now we're told it's a democracy. But they lie. It's a Jewish theocracy, a religious dictatorship. But it's illegitimate. It's an illegitimate state. Because we did not, United States did not recognize a Jewish state. We recognize a nation of Israel. Now, some people have told me they wish that when the United States was formed as a nation, when we had our Constitution, that it had stated specifically that the United States is a Christian nation or coalition, whatever you want to call it, of Christian states and one Christian nation. But as the Jewish groups in America, the Jewish ADL, the AIPAC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the American Jewish Committee, all the other Jewish lobby groups will quickly tell you, America is not a Christian nation. If a governor, if a congressman, if a president makes a speech and says, we're a Christian nation, they will have Abraham Foxman writing them a hot letter and say, how dare you say that America is a Christian nation? But in Israel, all the time, they brag and boast, we are a Jewish nation. Well, what problem do they have with the majority in America being Christian and saying we're a Christian nation? Well, they seem to have a lot of problem with it. But anybody that tells you we recognize the Jewish state of Israel, you just tell them baloney. Get my book, Conspiracy of the Sixth Morning Star, and you'll see we did not recognize a Jewish state of Israel. Not so. It is an illegitimate state. And yet this illegitimate state of Israel will not even allow the right to exist to the Palestinian people, whom they drove out of their land and stole. They don't even want the Palestinians to have a nation right next to them, contiguous to them, let's just call it, like we have Mexico and Canada. Oh, no. Palestinians have no rights, and the Jews have their little cozy dictatorship, their police state next door. Well, we're going to take a little break here. Do a little business, and when we come back, man, I'm just picking on the religions today. Next, we're going to talk about the Muslim faith and something that I think is absolutely atrocious that Muslims are doing to Christians. And if you don't like it because you're a Muslim, well, stay tuned because you're going to get real mad at me, Mr. Muslim, because I got something to say to you too. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'll be right back. Well, this is your friend Tex Mars back again. I mentioned my new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. I'm happy to tell you, to my surprise, it's been on the bestseller list for Jewish books or books on Judaism for a couple of months now since it came out on Amazon.com. A lot of people into Judaism or the Jewish religion are buying my book. Now, I'll tell you why I think that is. The word has got out that even the Jews can find out what their own rabbis secretly teach. You know, the Bible in Ezekiel chapter 8, there's an interesting passage. The people of Israel would go to the temple, and I'm sure to the equivalent of their synagogues, and they would be taught one thing, but after they left the temple, the rabbis would meet in secret chambers and basically worship religions of Satan secretly. The rabbis, the elders of the church, the Zion elders, had a different religion than the common people did. They were worshiping Satan's way while the people had no idea. You know, I've gotten a number of letters over the years of churches, Methodist, Presbyterian, and others, where the pastors, one of them was a charismatic church in Louisiana, the pastors and some of the men would get together and have rituals and sacrifice animals to the devil and have sexual rites right there in the church, but they wouldn't do it on a Sunday. Then all the people would just come in and have their little Sunday service, and the pastor would give a little milquetoast sermon. But come during the week, they would meet at night secretly and have their secret satanic rituals. You say, Tex, that's impossible. That can't happen in a charismatic church or a Methodist church. Friends, I'm telling you the truth. It happens. There's some very sordid and evil people in this world. I believe a lot of Jewish folks are buying my book so they can find the truth about their own religion, what goes on in their own religion. You know, the rabbis, when they're talking to the everyday Jew, you know, and they're asked questions about the Jewish Kabbalah, they say, well, my friend, you'll have to take special lessons from me, and they will cost you like, you know, $1,000 a month for these lessons, and I will teach you the secrets of the Kabbalah. Well, hey, listen, if you're a Jew and you're listening to this program, you don't have to pay a lot of money to your rabbi to be taught the Kabbalah. Read my book. I've studied the Jewish Kabbalah for years. Sorcery, magic, deviltry. That's what it is. Oh, man. Got to get this book. Everything you'd want to know. Well, not everything. I guess I'll have to do a book, too, to cover the rest of the stuff. Didn't have room for. But this is a huge book. It's like an encyclopedia. It's 432 pages, big pages, a lot of pictures, a lot of information, all documented. By the way, it's also on the bestseller list for controversial religious knowledge and for conspiracy theories. I like that, theories. Of course, we don't believe much in theories here at Power Prophecy. We believe in facts and science. And I think this book is probably number one, should be, in conspiracy science. But then Amazon doesn't have a category like that. They should. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. And by the way, I have a whole section there explaining the occult true meaning of the symbol that is used for the Israeli flag, the six-pointed star. Oh, you may think they just pulled that out of their hat. You may think that it's the Star of David, but you would be wrong. David says, my shield is the Lord. That's in the Old Testament. He didn't have any star. But in the book of Amos and in the book of Acts, you'll find out about this six-pointed star. Oh, yes. The Bible does talk about it in relationship to the star god Moloch, to whom the ancient Israelites, in their betrayal of the true religion, sacrificed their children. And now that star's back. It's back again. Just like that old horror movie. It's back. And it's on their flag. Hope you'll get this book. You know, it's $29.95 at the bookstores, but hey, just send us $25, $5 more for shipping and handling, total of $30, and we'll send you a copy right away. And we're going to make sure we have plenty of copies in. Michelle, my office manager, watches the levels, and when we need more copies, we're going to order more copies up. We're going to keep it going. Now, some people say, Tex, you must be an anti-Semite for publishing a book like that. Well, of course, Only an anti-Semite would publish a book like that. I'm an anti-Semite. Any Jewish rabbi would say so. Now, my wife Wanda doesn't think so. And I know I'm not. But they say that I am. Well, I just go along with it. If you write the truth and you're an anti-Semite, then you're an anti-Semite, according to them. But I don't care what they say. I'm only interested in what Jesus Christ says. He knows my heart. I'm going to go right on forward. Go right on. Mr. Anti-Semite Tex Mars, well, go after it. They think that's going to scare me. They think, oh, I'm going to be so frightened. I can't dare write this book. I've got to pull it off the press. Nonsense. Friends, how often do you see people doing things not for Jesus, but refusing to do things for Jesus for fear of the Jews? In fact, that's what the New Testament says. Many people would not even associate with Christ Jesus for fear of the Jews. Not Tex. No way. Conspiracy of the six-pointed star. $30 total. Now, here's how to get the book. Phone us toll-free during the work week. 1-800-234-9673. Toll-free. 1-800-234-9673. We'll be so glad to hear from you. And if you'd like a free subscription to our newsletter, mention that, and we'll send that to you in the mail every month. Or, of course, you can read our newsletter online and order the book online at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Hey, you can even, I'm not an egomaniac. You don't have to do this, but you could use my name, texmars.com, TEXEMARRS.com, and get the book. You can write to us even. Texmars or Power of Prophecy, 1708 Peterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program, Secrets, Volume 182. This is Power of Prophecy, and the last time I looked in the mirror, I still was Tex Mars. Okay. All right. Although I'm getting a few wrinkles on my face, I'm not sure Wanda recognizes me anymore these days. Jerry, have you noticed women don't get wrinkles? They stay eternally young. Wanda, she's been this age ever since I met her. Hope she hears that. I need a few goody points, with Nah, she's a sweetheart. She takes care of me no matter what I do. And it must be hard living with somebody like me. It must be difficult. I give her full credit. She still does it. You know what I think? I think she's a Texas Longhorn fan. And I am too. So I think that goes a long way with Wanda, I say that every time. We have several folks that like other teams, like our good friend, from Ohio State, always writing me about the Buckeyes from Ohio State. But he hadn't written me this year. Maybe he's not so happy with the way the team's doing. Yeah, well, I'll bet he is. He's one of these diehard fans. They can have a 0-11 year. He'll still be for the Buckeyes. Hey, I like people like that. Hey, I don't give up just because my team hadn't won a few games this year. I don't give up. No. I remember I used to watch football sometime with my sister. We'd go over to her house. She was grown at the time. We'd watch our favorite team, which was always, of course, the Dallas Cowboys or the Texas Longhorns. And they'd be back three touchdowns behind. It'd be in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left. I'd be sitting over there all morose and depressed because I knew they couldn't, come back. My sister, she's sitting over there saying, "We got them right where we want them. We're going to win this game." 1 minute left. We're going to get them. Don't worry, Tex. Oh, boy. Hey, here's something that's not funny. It makes me pretty angry. An Iranian Christian pastor faces execution for refusing to recant his Christian faith. Let's see. His name, I probably can't pronounce it right. You say Nadarkhan. Nadarkhani. You say Nardakani. Now, an Iranian court has ruled because he They claim that he was a Muslim, but he converted to Christianity, that he has to either recant or he will be put to death. He's a Christian pastor, a family man. I have a picture of he and his two young boys, his kids. And Pastor Nadarkhani is nice about it, but he says, I cannot change. I cannot go back to being a Muslim after I have discovered the truth of Jesus Christ. The judge asked him, said, we will give you one last chance to recant, to repent. They said, repent. And the good Iranian Christian pastor said, repent means to return. What should I return to? To the blasphemy that I had before my faith in Christ? Do you get that, friends? He actually said, what should I return to? The blasphemy that I had before my faith in Christ? Now, friends, the Muslim faith is blasphemous. Here's why. It says God had no son. There is no son of God. The Muslim faith also says that Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave. He did not rise and go to heaven. The judge replied to Pastor Nadarkhani, you should return to the religion of your ancestors, Islam. I cannot, said Pastor Nadarkhani. Well, there are other Christian clergy that are in prison today in Iran. Now, you know, that's a Muslim republic. And the president, as you know, was elected to office. I would so much appreciate those of you who care about Pastor Nadarkhani. Let me spell his name. Nadarkhani. Pastor Nadarkhani. I would appreciate any of those who really care about this, please write the Embassy of Iran, Washington, D.C. Ambassador, just write to the ambassador. The Embassy of Iran in Washington, D.C. Write a nice letter to him and say, Mr. Ambassador, in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, I beg you, I ask you to please intervene with the president of your country. I seek freedom for Pastor Nadarkhani, a man of faith. Let the ambassador know that in the United States, we allow the Muslims to freely preach their message. We allow Islamic mosque worship centers to be built anywhere in America as a free country. Let them know if they ever want good relations with the United States, they should let this good man go free. Meanwhile, my friends, pray for Pastor Nadarkhani and for his church. I understand he has a 400-member church, and he's been held already in jail since October of 2009. He did complain to the local education authorities that his son was forced to read from the Quran at school. In June of 2010, his wife, Fatima, was arrested and asked to renounce her faith. She did not do so, and she was released, but now the pastor himself has been continuing in prison and may well be put to death for his faith. Well, it makes you want to cry. Think about this man. Ask to repent and return to the Islamic faith. He says, what should I return to? To the blasphemy that I had before my faith in Christ? You know, the Bible says when the magistrates bring you before them because of your faith, think not of what you're going to say, but the Holy Spirit will speak through you. I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking through this pastor. He needs prayer. He needs help. Let's help him. Hey, the polar bears. Do you know the polar bear population is much higher now than it was a century ago? But we've been told that the polar bears are dying out because of global warming. Well, evidently, the United States Senate's Environment and Public Works Committee did a study. And they used the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to make the study. They found out the polar bear population is currently around 25,000 bears. That's up from as low as 5,000 bears in the 1950s. Wow. In the last 60 years, the bear population has increased around 500%. Well, that's not what your kids are being taught in public schools today by the environmental teachers. Wow. The U.S. Geological Survey of Wildlife says the polar bear population may now be near a historic high. Well, good for the polar bears and bad for the lying environmentalist. By the way, here's another statistic that just came out this last week. The water level of the world's oceans suddenly has gone down 1.5 inches in the last decade. Now, the environmentalist said as the ice is melting in South and North Pole, all the water will dump into the oceans and the water level will rise, and soon there'll be no more islands. All the islands will be inundated with water, and the coast of North America, you know, California and Oregon and Washington, and over on the East Coast, New York and the Carolinas, all those states, Florida, will all be inundated with water. But as it turns out, the water level is going down, not up. In other words, there's more land, not less. Exactly the opposite of what we were warned about. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I read an article in a popular magazine that said by the year 1980, well, you can tell I've been around a long time. By the year 1980, this article said that probably came out, oh, about 1952. The world will run out of oil. At the present rate of cars using gasoline and so forth and fuel oil for home energy systems, the world will run out of oil in the 80s. No more oil. We'll all shiver. We'll have no cars to drive. We'll go back to what? Buggies, wagons. Well, 1980 came up and there was more oil than ever before. But every year since then, the environmental wackos have said, we're running out of oil. They call it peak oil. The peak period has already passed. And now every year we'll have less and less oil. And that's because the mean old blood-sucking capitalists are sucking the oil out of the ground and we're running out. It's a horrible thing. Except it's not true. They keep discovering more and more oil. You know, when they discovered the oil of North Slope of Alaska, they said there's enough oil here for 500 years of use for the whole North American continent. But recently they discovered more oil in the Gulf of Mexico than exists up in the North Slope of Alaska. And they say there's enough for 2,000 years use. But wait, they're not finished. They said there's enough shale oil that they found now in Pennsylvania and Texas. There's more oil there than the rest of the whole world's all combined. And then in the last decade, they found oil in the Bakken formation up in the Montana and South North Dakota. They say there's more oil there than there is in Saudi Arabia and the entire Middle East. Right here on in our little nation, the United States, oil just keeps bubbling up. New techniques of recovery keep being invented. And we're planet petroleum. They all lied to us. You know, my brother, Troy, late brother, died quite a few years ago. Before he died, he told me something interesting. He was an executive with Sun Oil Company. He said, Tex, we've discovered something quite interesting. You know, we had a lot of oil wells that we drill back in the 30s and 40s, 50s, and they ran out of oil. We thought they did. because we were getting up only dribs from them. So we went and closed them up. You know, you have to put concrete stuff in them and close them up. Cap them, I think he called it. He says, now we're coming back 30 years later, and guess what? There's oil there again. It's evidently percolated up from the earth, came back up naturally. We had no idea. We took all the oil out we could. We thought it was a dry well. But somebody had the bright idea. You know what? We could, let's go check. They had this theory, he said, that the oil would replenish itself. Some of our engineers said, that's crazy. We did it. It is true. Now we're opening up the oil, and we wish we had been a little bit more careful in the way we capped them. We threw all kind of junk down there. Big pieces of iron, big pieces of metal. He says, we put anything down there. I don't know. They probably took car parts from junkyards and just threw them down there. Just closing it up. Then they'd put concrete on top of that. He says, we wish we hadn't done that now. Cost us so much money to uncap them, to take all that trash out. Now they pass laws that you can't put all that junk down, you know, the hole. You gotta have a little cleaner system. Make it easier to go down and get the oil. The oil replenished itself. How did it do that? Well, I guess God, he made the earth. Plenty of oil down there. Some say we'll never, ever, ever run out no matter what we do. In fact, the oil companies have a problem. If they keep discovering more oil, the oil price of oil will go down. It's not a rare resource at all. There's too much of it. That's their big problem. I've heard of secret meetings of environmentalists and oil company executives where they have begun to pay secretly under the table millions of dollars to the environmentalists to protest drilling. David Gibson, Professor David Gibson of the University of Pittsburgh, wrote a book about that called Battling Wall Street. He said the corporations are founding new environmental groups and are funding, giving the money for the operations of the unwashed hippie masses that have joined the, you know, all these groups like the Sierra Club and all of them. They're supporting the environmental groups. Then the environmental groups go out and set, you know, lobby to Congress and say, we can't allow drilling. We're despoiling our mother earth and all that stuff. And the oil company executives say, that's fantastic. They're doing our job. We don't want to drill. Did you know the oil company executives go out and buy up permits to drill all over the Atlantic coast? But after they bought the licenses from the federal government, they do not drill. There's thousands of pieces of land that they could drill on. And they know there's probably oil there, but they will not drill there. Why? Why did they waste their money to buy up the license to drill in a certain area of off the coast of the United States, but they know they're never going to drill there? Because they've tied up the land. That's why. And nobody else can drill there either. And there'll never be any oil coming up there. And the oil that they are drilling now, they can charge more for. You know, I've told you about the old joke about the apple vendor had a little stand on the corner of a city street selling apples. Quarter each, 25 cents each. Guy came up to him and said, how much is your apple? He said, 25 cents. He said, well, that's highway robbery. Right around the corner there on the street, there's another apple vendor, and he's only charging a nickel for his apples. And the guy said, well, then go buy an apple from him. If you can get it for a nickel, go buy it from him. Well, the potential customer said, well, he's out of apples right now. He said, oh, he's out of apples. Well, when I'm out, I give them away free. So think about that. Oh, my. Polar bears, water levels, peak oil. Okay, let's continue on here. Social Security. They're still talking about cutting Social Security. It's as if they think it's a favor that they give you the money that you put in, or even a portion of it. You know, my daughter, Sharon Kay, died in her 40s. Now, she had worked since she was about 18 years old. Started working at, I think, one of these churches' fried chicken places. Pretty tough work. come home smelling like, you know, fried chicken every night, even as a young high school student. She worked all her life, then she died of cancer. She gave in Social Security and Medicare all her life, and then she died. She got nothing out of it. She had not retired yet. So the government got to keep every cent she put in. But yet they have the gall today to tell us that the elderly should not get the Social Security that they paid for. Now, when they started Social Security back in the 30s in the FDR era, they said this is an insurance program, not welfare. And some of you out there have paid tens of thousands of dollars for this insurance program, thinking that when you're elderly, you'll get a bit back. And now they're acting like it's a favor. And Obama, and yes, even the Republicans are acting like it's their money and not yours. They're willing to fight six wars in the Middle East, from Libya to Yemen to Pakistan to Iraq to Afghanistan, etc. They don't mind blowing trillions of dollars on worthless wars for Israel and oil, but they don't want to pay you what you paid in or even a part of it. You know what? If I were you, and I'm not, but I'm me and I'm going to do it. Anybody who wants to hold public office from city council all the way up to the president, if they think this is welfare, and they think they can cut it whenever they want to while they're buying $16 muffins and paying, you know, $500 for, I don't know, gold-plated toilet seats in the Capitol building, I say we vote those people out of office. Now, people say, well, Tex, don't worry about these things. Just let God handle them. Well, God can do a lot better job than I can. I admit that. But I don't mind being his instrument. Do you? I say vote him out of office. And while you're at it, you may pray that their time in office be very short. In fact, there's a lot of biblical things about that. They serve at the leisure of God, my friends. That's what the Bible says. Everybody in a public office has been put there by God and should do what's right by God. Not by Israel or some oil company. But I know I'm just a quack. I'm just an anti-Semite. I'm just a mean old man. I'm a mean old man because I believe that the elderly can use the money a lot better than the government can. If that makes me a mean man, well, I'm just a mean man. And I want to end with this little note of news. Evidently, Cher, you know the singer Cher? Her son's the transgender guy named Chaz. Well, according to a news report that came out July the 4th, I'm a little bit late on this one, Cher is very angry at Republican Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann's husband. Her husband is a counselor who tries to help homosexuals to get out of that lifestyle and adopt a Christian lifestyle. In other words, he tries to get gays to stop being homosexuals and become Christians. And if you're a Christian, you're not going to be gay. Well, that made Cher angry. And she came out and made a public statement. She wants to strangle Michelle Bachmann's husband with a snake. That's what she says. I want to strangle Michelle Bachmann's husband with a snake. Have you noticed that all these liberals and all these homosexuals, they're so fascinated with snakes? Just thought I'd bring that little bit in. They're sort of snake people, serpentine, aren't they? I think there's a connection. Well, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to another volume of Secrets here on Power of Prophecy. Been great being with you. Please pray for us here through ministry. And as you can and the Holy Spirit leads, we need your love gifts and offerings and donations. But I know you can pray for us, and I do covet your prayers. So until next week, my friends, this is Tex Mars. May God richly bless you. And please tune into this program each week and discover the power of prophecy.